An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Thankful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and as always, we're thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. This week on Abounding Grace, we're going to go back and look at a psalm, Psalm 84, which is a very comforting psalm, a psalm that really does speak to today's contemporary church world in a very unique way. And so I'm excited to bring and deliver this to you today. Before I do that, I want to remind you that on our website, we have put together a website for you, agradio.org. Again, that website's www.agradio.org. We have all of these programs podcasted there for you. We also have many other resources there for you. And so do please make use of that. We even have maps of churches in your area. If you're looking for a church that preaches the doctrines of grace, we've put all that up there for you. So do please visit the website. We live in a world full of misery, sadness, sickness, and death. And we often wonder, what is coming next? It's a cruel world out there. Honestly, no one cares about anyone else. Everyone is after their own gain. We express the same sentiments. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases. Is there justice, mercy, and truth at all anymore? I feel like the whole world is going to hell in a handbasket. If I look over the short time I've existed, even the days when I grew up as a child, it wasn't like this. Even 30 years ago, things seemed so much simpler. And post 9/11, my kids are introduced into a violent kind of world I just did not know. Morally, how much worse can it get? I'm concerned, you know? I understand this stuff happens to a world under the sway of the evil one. But what bothers me the most is how bad the struggle is among the saints. There's nothing but fighting and bitterness and dissensions and heresies. Add to this, it's painful to see God's people suffer. I grow weary as a pastor seeing parents lament over children. I look at mine and I see their whole lives are in front of them, and I know that the Lord had to be long-suffering with me. It took a whole lot of work on his part to bring me where I am today just to have some kind of saving knowledge. I know how much work will be required by him to bring my children to a knowledge of Christ. And how much struggle along the way, how much pains will it take to make it happen? See, the older I get, the more I realize these things. I desperately want, of course, a pain-free life, but I know that there just is no way of avoiding this kind of pains and this kind of sorrow when tragedy strikes. At some point, it's going to catch up with all of us. You could be going along with your life really well today, making a lot of money, making a happy life, and then, boom, everything changes. My question is, what is the answer at times like that? You ever thought ahead to it? You have no idea what comes, and when it changes, then what? Well, that's where Psalm 84 may just become one of the most important psalms that you've ever read. As a pastor, it had an impact upon me like no other. Spurgeon called it one of the sweetest psalms of peace. What makes it so beautiful is how simple it is, how uplifting. Its message is about as clear and simple as you come across in the whole Psalter. The psalm is about enjoying God. It sets before us what a fulfilled life looks like. It's an intense expression for God. And the psalmist is saying, because he has learned to value that which is most important, he's saying this is what he has come to learn about enjoying God. This is the way he has come to enjoy God amidst all of the struggle. This is the pearl of great price. You see, what makes this psalm so powerful is that he's saying this as he is experiencing the very same struggles and sorrows that we are, as he expresses to us where he found the answer. We can learn so much from this today. so I hope you can add this to your list of favorites. It's a psalm that teaches us about the blessing of God's presence in the wilderness. And if God has given you the wisdom to see this, you are the most blessed in this life. What you have at the beginning of this psalm is a description of his deepest longing. I want you to listen carefully to verse 1. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. What's he describing here? Well, there are two ways of looking at the psalm. This psalm is about worship. Some think the sons of Korah are describing an inability to come and to worship the Lord in his courts. My soul faints just to taste what happens when we come before God. We long for it. Calvin takes that position, that for some period in his life, the psalmist was barred from the sanctuary. He couldn't come. Psalm 42 does describe that problem. My soul pants for the living God. When do I get to appear before God? There was he taken captive far away from Jerusalem where he could worship. What a powerful thought that is. I would never want to know that kind of experience. In this country, we are free to come and worship. But I often think to myself, do I really appreciate the ability and freedom to come? What would it do to me if it all were ripped away and taken away? Would it affect me? Would I come to a deep realization of how carelessly I treated it when I had it? Would it matter at all? I think about that. But I'm not so convinced Calvin is right here on the circumstance of Psalm 84. What makes Psalm 84 so profound is that the psalmist is describing his complete freedom and ability to come worship the Lord, and he has found that to be so satisfying to his soul that in this freedom, in this ability to come, it's become the treasure of his life. And that is the other 6 days, as he's out working, as he's out in struggle, he is yearning to come back every Sabbath. That's a whole different kind of scenario. That's a whole different kind of thing described, isn't it? How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. That has a lot of meaning for us. The word tabernacle means dwelling place. He's describing the tabernacle. The tabernacle was the place that God had chosen to come down and meet with his people. There was a tabernacle and later a temple, and the God of heaven and earth had made his place among his people. He had come down to them so that they could worship him, and that they could know that God himself was with them. Now, this is a powerful introduction to this psalm, because think of what he's describing. I love to come to the place where you are and worship you, O Lord. Notice how beautiful, how intimate this is. Deep within my soul, I long, I faint to think about the worship of the Lord. You know, be honest. How excited are you to come and worship the Lord? And if not, why not? We often get up on the Lord's Day and we sleep in. And what really is our attitude to worship? That's the big question here, isn't it? We often think that the Old Testament Old Testament worship in general was full of requirements and laws and sacrifices, so that there must have been no joy in doing it. I used to hear that all the time as a kid. Boy, I'm so glad we're in the New Testament, because the Old Testament must have been just brutal with all those laws. And I believe that he is rebuking the idea that the worship of God was some kind of chore or some kind of hard demand put on the life of God's people. That's not what it was at all. He is describing that what he has found in coming to the Lord's house is lovely. It's beautiful. There's nothing burdensome about worship. And it's not because the temple matters or the building. But he says, my heart and my existence cries out for the living God. The worship of you is lovely. It thrills my soul. My greatest passion is to be where you dwell, O Lord. It's the most satisfying thing that I've ever done with my life. This isn't the only place this is mentioned. The Psalter says this more than a few times, but take something like Psalm 27. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You see what's being described, don't you? Ultimate satisfaction, ultimate calming of the restless heart is the worship of the Lord. He describes his experience as that of fainting for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. He gets the wonderful privilege of using his mouth and hands and heart to bless and praise the Lord. The psalm is describing what the finding of that and finding of this blessed place of peace and joy, what matters the most in this life. If there's anything, dear listener, that needs to be recovered today, that needs to be reformed today, it's our doctrine and our understanding of worship. For some reason today, people love to quote Jesus. And they say, well, we really don't need to go to church. We don't need to be a part of a church because Jesus said that we no longer worship on this mountain or on that mountain, but in spirit and in truth. And they've taken that and made it licensed to say we no longer need the church because we have the Spirit. And since the church is not a building, I am the church. That is a sound of wisdom, but it leads to something very wrong, doesn't it? It leads to something very wrong. There's a reason God had to give a commandment in the New Testament. Let no one neglect the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. There are some who are going to say that. They don't need to come. But the author of Hebrews says they're wrong. They do need to come. We live in these kind of times, of course. But I would suggest look at the fruits of it. Look at the results of this mentality. People today are pining away as individuals. Now, in contrast to all that, they're pining away spiritually. In contrast to all that, what is the psalmist describing? Well, he's not talking about places of stone or wood. He's not talking about big cathedrals. He's not talking about buildings. He's speaking of the spiritual blessings that flow from God's presence. And this is what I want to leave you to think about today. There was an understanding that when God's people gathered corporately for worship on the Sabbath, as they rested, this is rooted right in creation, there was something happening that you couldn't get anywhere else. Or why have church, right? There was something happening that you couldn't get anywhere else. God was specially meeting with his people to feed them with the means of grace, to show them his gospel, to show them Christ and him crucified, and to give them strength for their journeys in the wilderness. When we become islands to ourselves, when we neglect this, it's no wonder we have no perspective in this life. Value the worship of the Lord. Come and feast around his table. Come with God's people and call out upon the name of the Lord together, singing to him. You will know a power. You will know a peace that this world can never give you. This is the worship of the Lord. May we again worship the Lord in a way that is spiritually beneficial to our souls. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, and we ask humbly both for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.